Welcome to PITGO Happenings. I'm your host, Diana McFarland. I'm here to give you a front row view of county government. Welcome, listeners. Over the next few episodes of PITGO Happenings, we're going to dive into the subject of economic development here in Pennsylvania County, where we've been, where we are now, and where we are hopefully headed in the future. And joining us today to talk about this vital topic is Matt Rowe. He's the Director of Economic Development for Pennsylvania County. So before we start, Matt, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, how long have you been with the county and what expertise do you bring? And also, can you explain to our listeners what economic development is and why does government have a role in that?
Sure, not a problem, Diana. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast and appreciate the citizens that tune in regularly for the podcast. A little bit about myself. I've been with the county now coming up on 8 years, and I can't believe how fast that time has gone by. So I was initially hired with the county in December of 2015, and again, it really has been a blast, frankly, of working with the stakeholders in the community, working for the citizens, and really seeing this community. Go through a pretty remarkable transformation when it comes to the types of businesses and the opportunities that our citizens have. A bit more about myself, I have a very rural background, so I certainly appreciate a hard day's work. So I was born and raised in the northern neck of Virginia, which is far eastern portion of the state, much more rural than it is here. My graduating class actually for the entire county was 64 students, and my father was and still is a commercial waterman. So I did that for 11 years with him. I started when I was 11 years old, and that paid for college. And so again, doing the oystering, the crabbing, the gill netting, but primarily charter fishing. And so again, being out in nature, understand hard work, and I appreciate and respect those people that work outdoors. It's a tough world. And then from there, went to William & Mary, right there in Williamsburg, and ended up meeting my future wife there, and did my degree there in public policy with a minor concentration in environmental science. And then went to Virginia Tech, got a master's in public administration. And so then, coming out of grad school, just like everybody that comes out of, graduating from college or just that phase of life, you're kind of, thinking to yourself, well, what am I going to do with my life? And so I did have some, connections back, of course, in the eastern part of the state. And so my wife and I, we got married and we moved to Matthews County, Virginia, which is on the far eastern portion of the state. And there I really was the county's planner. So my background historically was in land use planning and working in small rural communities. You learn to do everything. And so while I was there, the wetlands coordinator at the time actually ended up retiring. And so I took on her responsibility. I also did GIS and 911 because, GIS was just becoming really prevalent at that time. And then I even filled in for a stint as a interim director. Because our planning director, moved to another opportunity there. And so that was a fantastic experience. From there, I went to Amherst County, Virginia, where I was their county planner and did code enforcement and did all of the stormwater and environmental reviews. So again, really building upon that component. And then from there, I went to Charles City County, which is just east of Richmond. And I was their director of economic development and director of planning. And then, it's funny how things kind of set you up in life, but a previous county administrator I worked for in Amherst County was Clarence Mundy, who was, of course, the county administrator here in Pennsylvania County for a while. And so Clarence called me and said, hey, I've got a very unique opportunity for you. I think you'd be great at it. Are you interested? And at that point in time, my wife and I were looking to, kind of get equidistant between the parents. Her family lives in Marion, Virginia, and I also did some work in Marion for a while, too. And I said, sure. And so, the rest is history. And so, again, I've been very blessed to work for, great communities. I do sincerely value and cherish, the role I play. The other part of your question of what is economic development, I think almost kind of relates a little bit to my background somewhat and the fact that it depends on who you ask and on what given day. And so there is no class truly for economic development. I view myself as being quite simply a problem solver for business. And so oftentimes, you know, a good illustration of that is a company will come and say, right, we've just nailed this contract, which is great news. All right, we now have more demand than we have supply. That's a problem. And so we have to work with them to try to find ways of addressing that problem, which is typically through an expansion or new location. On the flip side, it can be a negative situation of where someone loses a contract or there's a change in the macroeconomics that impacts a company. And so they have to downsize or sometimes even cease operations. And so again, that's another problem where we have to make that transition for the company as easy as possible, and more importantly, of course, the transition for workers and their workforce that remain in the community. We have to make sure that we provide them with opportunities. And if you look at an academic background, I'm sure it's a very long notion of where you're trying to enhance wealth and social economics and well-being within a community. And that is, in my opinion, an offshoot of where you are successful in solving a problems business. So again, that's typically how I view economic development, is I'm the government's ombudsman for business. So if they need something from the county, it's my job to find a way to work with them to successfully address that issue or opportunity.
Well, that's really interesting to hear that your father was a waterman. Being from the eastern side of the state, I'm very familiar with that industry.
I still have the dialect and the and the accent. So, like I said, it's deep.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Matt. Well, now, listeners, I'm going to kind of set the stage on why we are delving into this topic. And as many of you are aware, the tobacco and textile industry, which was once the economic backbone of this region, collapsed more than 15 years ago, leaving behind lost jobs and economic decline for the residents and businesses who remained. To turn that around, Danville and Pennsylvania County have formed a regional alliance to look for new industries and businesses to bring to the region and rebuild the economic base. So Matt, can you tell us about this alliance that the two localities have formed and why it was important to do that?
Sure, certainly. So, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was actually the second authority of its type. But the Code of Virginia enables localities to join together to create regional industrial facility authorities. And really, it's a fancy and legal way of being able to share resources and share costs. And so, frankly, it's very difficult for a single locality to go out and do the types of projects that we're doing on a regular basis. Frankly, it's sometimes too much risk. Sometimes it's too much of an upfront cost. And so by doing, an authority, a regional alliance, for example, with the city of Danville in our case, it allows us to share in our costs, but it also allows us to share in our wins and our benefits. And frankly, by doing that, it also allows folks to think more broadly. And I think that is often an issue in most communities. And if there's one piece of wisdom I guess I could share with, other economic developers in other communities is that I think it's always in your best interest to think in a much more regional, broader sense. A company does not look at just the jurisdiction of the business that it locates in. They certainly pay attention to tax rates and everything else. But they're really looking at the commuting patterns. They're looking at the logistics patterns. They're looking at the assets that region and community have as a whole. And so by being able to have partnerships, it really, if anything, incentivizes a community to understand the need to look at a much more larger scale. And so by doing so, for example, with Danville, it allows Pennsylvania County to have a much more greater understanding and frankly a much greater stake in what's happening in the urban fabric of the city of Danville. And likewise for the city of Danville, it makes them and gives them the ability to really highlight the amazing quality of life and educational institutions that exist in the county. And so by having this alliance and authority, it's good from a business sense, but it's also good from a marketing sense. And so that's been key. And then I think also it allows us to ensure that we have resources that address what right now is really a business's number one concern, which is, you know, a highly skilled, technologically capable workforce. And so that really has been led by the county, and then, you know, with our partners and, you know, with the city as well. You know, and we're really kind of leading the state in that, and when it comes to advanced manufacturing programs. And so, you know, that's just not something that can be done successfully at scale by just one community. So, for example, in Danville and Pennsylvania County alone, along with our state partners and Tobacco Commission, and I mean, you're looking at over $98 million now that have been invested just in our two communities alone in advanced manufacturing workforce programs. And I don't think there's anything better that you can do for a community than invest in your people. And that's the number one incentive that you can provide to a company is a highly skilled workforce. So everything that you're seeing transformation-wise, you know, driving throughout the county and throughout the city, in my humble opinion, is due to the, you know, the collaboration, not just between the city of Danville and Pennsylvania County, but there, it just extends to, for example, the Southern Virginia Regional Alliance with Linda Green and her team, the Danville Regional Foundation. I mean, everybody that lives in this community is part of the economic development team.
So can you talk a little bit about some of the businesses and industries that have decided to come here and like what type of jobs they offer?
Sure. So, you know, we want to make sure that we are always having a diverse economy. I think that this community in particular wants to ensure that it doesn't go back to a one factory town. And so, you know, it's important that we have a diverse portfolio of businesses. So, for example, since 2018, you know, we're looking at over $1 billion, about $1.2 billion in new private capital investment from companies locating into our area and closing in now on over 4,300 jobs. And so the average wage of these jobs, we keep track of them, it's in the mid to upper 50s. And so, I mean, those are very good paying jobs, you know, with benefits in our area. You know, great example of that, of course, being Morgan Olson going into what was the vacant IKEA facility, you know, making walk-in step vans for numerous well-known clients. You drive through Cane Creek Industrial Park there, of course, you see the new $300 million Tyson facility. That is getting ready to come online. I believe they actually started operations formally here in the middle of September. And if you have a three-year-old like I do, they love their Dino Nuggets. And so my family alone will probably keep that facility in business. And then, of course, you have very unique companies like Aero Farms, you know, successfully emerging through their restructuring process, rapidly hiring people. Walrobin, a Dutch-based company making, you know, components for the construction industry, actually moved their corporate headquarters for North America from Detroit down to Danville, Pennsylvania County. And then you have a lot of, you know, long-lasting companies. I mean, Intertape Polymer Group, I think we've worked now on four or five expansions with those folks, working in the plastics. And Axor North America, a great tenant that was, you know, with the Industrial Development Authority, and now they have actually, you know, bought their building and doing some great work for automotive clients with Paper Honeycomb. And then, of course, you know, Amthor International, you know, in the Gretna area. We've done now two projects with Brian and his team, and you know, they've, you know, become North America's largest tank truck manufacturer and are growing at a rapid pace. And then, you know, continuing even further into the northern part of the county, you know, with, you know, Stanton River Plastics in that facility. And, you know, those folks get ready to move equipment into that building. And so when you see and you hear all of these names, it's a plethora of skill sets, which means it's a plethora of job opportunities from, of course, all of these plants having plant managers and high administrative positions to industrial maintenance and mechatronics of making sure these plants stay up and running to advanced welding to you know, robotics and automation to, you know, coding of, you know, these programs as well. So again, we feel that we've been able to create a diverse portfolio of job opportunities.
Now, what did these businesses find attractive about Pennsylvania County and Danville? What brought them here?
Number one is always going to be key. It's going to be logistics. And so you really can't get a better location truly on the East Coast than our area. You're looking at about 60% of the U.S. population within a day's drive. And that's one of the best numbers in the country, truly. And then once you get past the logistics component, it really comes down to workforce and then availability of building product and sites. And so when I first started in this profession a long time ago, it was all about sites. And so you get calls from consultants, you know, just wanting to know how your sites were, to now where right the average age of the manufacturing workforce is in their late 50s. So that's a risk to business. now is how are your sites, how are your workforce, how are the programs that you have in your school systems, are they relevant? And if anywhere, that's where we really, truly exceed our competitors. And so, those are really the key components. And then once they come, they see the great quality of life, the four seasons that we have. This is a fantastic low-cost place to live and operate a business.
Well, Matt, you touched on the subject that will be the subject of our next episode. We're going to get into workforce mm-hmm. programs. We're going to have to wind it up for today. But thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to hearing next week about the different ways we are training youth and young adults to match this skill set that you talked about.
Yep. Look forward to sharing it with your listeners. And again, appreciate everybody willing to jump into the nebulous world of economic development.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to PITCO Happenings. I hope you learned something informative. If you have a question or want to make a comment, give me a call or send a text to 434-489-8739.